Today on Cold Gennaro Chat, my guest on the program is no one. A solo pod this afternoon, as I will go back and hit on the key talking points from Atletico Madrid's 1-0 loss at Sevilla last Sunday. After that, I'll preview Atletico's game at Malaga tomorrow. No Koke, no problem. We'll find out. Also hit on a few news items and more after this. Welcome to Cold Gennaro Chat, the podcast of record of IntoTheCalderon.com, a proud member of the SB Nation family of blogs. Jeremy Barron here with you today, as mentioned in the introduction to this edition of the program. No guest, flying solo today, and it's a little different setup, obviously, but things happen in life, and obviously we meant to do this much earlier in the week, like preferably Monday or Tuesday. But, you know, again, things happen, and it's a very busy time of year, so I'd like to apologize to you, dear listener, for not getting this to you earlier, and I'd like to apologize on behalf of my prospective guests for this week. We hope to have each and every one of them on the pod in the future, and we will all endeavor to be better on future iterations of Cold Gennaro Chat. But alas, here we are. Let's go back to last Sunday and talk about that game at the Sanchez Pizjuan between Sevilla and Atletico Madrid. Atletico flying back to Spain after a tense, tight midweek game in Rostov. Sevilla, to their credit, visited Croatia, and both sides defeated their Champions League opponent 1-0 in those games, setting the stage for a battle on Sunday on a very rainy pitch. Not the best pitch in the world because of how wet it was and the weather conditions were adverse. Simeone wasn't in a suit. So you just knew things were going to go downhill from there. Cholo was in like a half suit, half track suit. Not a great look for him. But Atletico went to Sevilla and lost 1-0 to end their unbeaten start to the season, which had stretched all the way to almost the end of October, which is pretty darn impressive. Sevilla continuing their excellent start to the year. They were top of La Liga provisionally. Now currently second behind Real Madrid, 1 point behind Madrid at the top of the table. So let's talk about this game and what happened out there. There were a lot of outlets that and a lot of very respected people I respect and on Twitter saying this was a very even game. Could have gone either way. I didn't see it that way. I think that this was a pretty, I would not say a one-sided game, but Sevilla were clearly better and clearly deserved to win. Maybe not by more than a 1 or 2 goal margin, but they deserved to win. Atletico were second best, and I didn't think there was much of a debate about that. I didn't think so, but from where I was watching, that's how I saw the game. And credit to Sevilla on getting the win. First time they'd beaten Atletico since Simeone took over. First time they'd even scored in a game against Atletico since the 2013-14 season. And that was the 2013 half of that season in a 3-1 loss at the Pizjuan. So, digging a little deeper into what happened in this game, Sevilla were great, Atletico were not great. Sevilla dominated in midfield. Atletico were less than stellar, shall we say, in the midfield. Koke was sent off, which made matters a little worse, as Atletico were down to 10 men for the final 15 or so minutes. Samir Nasri, brilliant game for him. Steven Nzonzi, brilliant game for him. He scored the winner inside the final 20 minutes. Sevilla were very impressive, and I'll elaborate a little bit more on them in a bit, but as far as Atletico are concerned, you can say that the trip to Russia took a lot out of him. In 3 days after you get back from Russia, you have to go to Seville, and Sevilla have won 6 out of 6 at home this season in La Liga and in the Champions League. No one really wins there other than Sevilla and Granada, but you know, we'll sidestep that. A Twitter user pointed that out to me and made me chuckle. But anywho, Atletico just weren't great. And I think a lot of that had to do with how they played on the wings, and Juan Fran had a very poor game. Particularly, I thought he was pretty poor, not influential in attack, and really struggled to stay in front defensively, to stay a foot ahead defensively. Sergio Escudero was excellent on his side. Vitolo caused a lot of problems on Juan Fran's side as well. Felipe Luis had a fine game, not his best game of the season, but a fine game. I wrote in my player ratings that even though this was a somewhat average game for him, it speaks to how good he's been so far this season, that he played well, and it was still kind of an average game for him. Angel Correa and Yannick Carrasco, neither player was good. They just weren't. Correa missed another sitter, and his third missed sitter in two games. And it could have turned the tie, because the game was goalless at that point. It was late in the first half, and after that, Correa got booked, and then taken off at halftime, and his days in the starting 11 maybe over for now. You can see Correa as a starter and Correa as a super sub are, at this point in his career, are different players, right? Correa as super sub, you put him on in the final 25-30 minutes, and he just burns, you know, worn-out defenses. You start him from the get-go, and he doesn't have the consistency, maybe not the energy, to go 75-90 minutes and you know, have a bag of goal and an assist every game like he did against Granada. He's just not at that point in his career yet. So Correa was removed at halftime, and Yannick Carrasco was not far behind him. He didn't make it to the hour mark. First game after signing his new contract, and didn't manage a single shot. After six shots and a goal against Rostov, the winning goal in that game, just couldn't find any space, couldn't get involved, and he was removed in the 55th minute. So you're talking, by the hour mark, Simeone has one sub left, and Jorge Sampaoli has all three left. So it's at that point that you look at the game, you look at the scenario, you look at Sevilla playing pretty well, and you see that Atletico could be in some trouble here. Which, you know, they were. So Simeone took off Correa and put on Nico Gaitán, and I gotta say, Gaitán missed a big chance on Sunday. He did. You have to do better than that in a big game, away. This was a big chance for Gaitán. He just didn't assume it, didn't step up, and misplaced a lot of passes. Again, you know, to be fair, the conditions were not conducive to the kind of quick one-touch passing game Atletico like to build up with. That said, he misplaced a lot of passes, and what did not look comfortable in defense, a couple fouls. His pace late in the game drew some free kicks. Atletico didn't really come to anything. But Gaitán just did not take the reins on Sunday. And he's a player who is expected to have his place in the 11 booked at this point. He was expected to have that nailed down, but guess what? Yannick Carrasco has played great, and he got a new contract. Angel Correa has been preferred to him of late. And that's got to be frustrating for him, but he needs to develop the consistency to play a big role in a Simeone style, in a Simeone team. Just hasn't done it yet. So Gaitán was on, didn't play well, really at all. And that's where Atletico's problems kind of emanated from, their inability to have an impact, for their wide players to impact the game. Samir Nasri pulled all the strings. He was brilliant again. He's been Sevilla's best player to this point in the season. Again, Nzonzi was great, charging through the middle. More of an attacking threat than we're used to seeing from him. Vitolo was excellent. Franco Vasquez was pretty good too. And Sevilla overall were much better in midfield. Gabby was Atletico's best midfielder on Sunday. And Koke obviously went off early. Saúl didn't play, and Thiago had to come on to shore things up after Nasri hit the post before the hour. So just overall, that's where the problem started. Atletico's inability to make the wings theirs, and just off an off game from Koke, Gabby playing a little closer to the final third. It's kind of where it started, and really where the game was won. And Zonzi's goal, of course, set up by Vieto on loan from Atletico. Good ball over the top. It found Nzonzi on his run. He was onside, broke free, and on a 1v1 with Jan Oblak, fired low and scored. That was it. Atletico had threatened earlier, but Sevilla had the best chances. Sevilla had the goal, and Sevilla won. Diego Godin had a chance off a header very late, but Sergio Rico saved it off the line, and there you go. And that was it. Atletico now are fifth in the table, which is amazing how you can go from first to fifth just on the strength of one game. I'll talk about that in a second, but this was a game where Atletico could have used Augusto, right? Because Koke, again, wasn't very good. Gabby was fine. I think he was Atletico's second best player on the day. Thiago came on to shore things up and did for 15 minutes or so, helped produce a pretty positive spell for Atletico and helped them regain control. But Augusto offers something different, right? He's a guy who can break things up with authority and destroy in the middle of the park. And Atletico didn't have that. They didn't have a disruptive type of player that, like Augusto, in the middle of the park. Now, nothing you can do about that. Augusto's likely done for the season, ripped up his knee. But this was the kind of game where you could have used him. And I'll talk about later on in the program how Atletico planned to address that. Maybe not this season, but perhaps in the near future. A word on Sevilla now, and 6 wins, 2 draws, and a loss in the league so far. Only loss was at San Mamé, 3-1 to Athletic. They're playing well. They've got a good team there. I think Sampaoli is an upgrade on Unai Emery. Monchi, again, has given him a team with a lot of variety and a lot of options all around the pitch. I don't think they're a great defensive team yet, but they have a lot of variety in midfield and options up front that have done well for them. Vieto has done well. Ben Yedder has done well. Ben Yedder didn't even play on Sunday. And you're looking at a manager who is very ambitious, very adventurous, played at times a 3-man back line, a 5-man back line, 2 players up top, only one, then only one up top. Just very interesting setups, and Sampaoli was very judicious with his substitutes, very careful, did not make a move to his bench until the very end of the game. The 88th minute was his first substitute. So, give credit to Sampaoli and Sevilla, but I question if they are truly La Liga contenders. Not sure we can say that yet, because you look at some of the results they've gotten. A lot of late goals that have decided games. A late winner against Las Palmas, a controversial late winner against Las Palmas at the Pizjuan. A late winner at home against Alaves, a late winner away at Leganés. That's 9 points there, when it could easily have been 7. It could easily have been 5. It could have been fewer. So these results tend to even out over the course of a campaign. But no questioning how well they're playing now. The toughest games they played this season, they went to El Madrigal and got a draw. Went to Turin and drew with Juventus. They got blasted at San Mamé, but on Sunday, hosting Atletico, a team they hadn't even scored against since 2013. Beat them and deserve to beat them. This is a good team, and they're going to stay in the conversation. They'll stay top 4, top 5, depending on Villarreal, Athletic, teams like that. They will stay in this conversation. It looks like they're going to be in the last 16 of the Champions League, maybe even the last 8, depending on who they are drawn with. There's a good team here. And they could just keep a squad for more than a year. You'd look at some serious growth. But even with a lot of new players and a new coach, they're doing well. They're doing well. They don't look a finished product, but they're doing very well. So kudos to them. Back to Atletico now. They're down to fifth in the table. No one should worry about this. And I'm gonna give you a couple reasons why. First reason, there's 29 weeks to go in the season. The 10th round has started. Real Sociedad went to Leganés and won today 2-0. Bit surprising because Sociedad are not very good away from Anoeta. But you're into the 10th round, and there's still 28 rounds to go. Thus far this season, Atletico have gone to Balaidos, have gone to Camp Nou, they've gone to Mestalla, and most recently, the Pizjuan. Atletico took points in three of those four games. Winning and keeping clean sheets at Balaidos and Mestalla against Celta Vigo and Valencia. And going to Camp Nou and being the better team against Barcelona in the second half of that game. To get the 1-1 draw. And perhaps not playing so great against Sevilla, but still only losing 1-0. And if Correa had scored that sitter in the first half, it may have been a very different game. It would have been a very different game. And you get to host all these teams in the second half of the season at the Calderon. So, no reason really to panic. Or, you know, just looking at the league table, yes, they're fifth. But if you beat Malaga this weekend and, you know, other results go your way, four of the top five play on Saturday. Real Madrid travel to Alaves. Barcelona are hosting Granada. Yes. And Villarreal go to Eibar on Sunday. That's the early game on Sunday. And Atletico, again, host Malaga. So you get a couple things to go your way this weekend, get back on the winning path, and the table will again look different. This speaks to an overall point that La Liga is a stronger league than it has been in years past. La Liga gets a lot of crap for being a 2-3-team league. It's not. It's not just the two Madrid sides and Barcelona. La Liga is a deep league with a lot of talent. Just, you know, structural issues. Infrastructure problems. But aside from that, the football in Spain is good. And the table reflects that. It's very tight at the top of the table. Real Sociedad are only 5 points off top spot in sixth place. Consider that. So, that's about everything from Atletico's trip to Seville. Again, Sevilla are at Gijon this weekend. They play the early game Saturday against Sporting Gijon. And now we'll move on to Atletico's game against Malaga after this. Atletico Madrid returning to Madrid this weekend to take on Malaga. Malaga currently mid-table, 3 wins, 3 draws, 3 defeats. A plus 2 goal difference and 10 different goal scorers. 10 different players have scored Malaga's 12 goals this season. The manager is different. Javi Gracia no longer there. Juan de Ramos is. But the results, the output, seems it's similar. Ignacio Camacho is playing very well. They're very glad over there that he did not go to West Brom. And he's been their top player. Juan P as well, a name to look out for, as was mentioned in the Malaga preview piece on the blog. And Malaga make life difficult. And Carlos Camani is one of the best keepers in La Liga. I rate him pretty highly. Malaga make things difficult. That's what they do. And they're tough to score on. They're tough to break down. They get goals from set pieces. They get goals all over the place. Their leading goal scorer is Sandro. He actually has more than one goal. He has 3 goals. He he's done well for them. And Malaga with a legitimate presence up top. Haven't had that in a little while. And if Sandro comes good, then Malaga are a better team. So yeah, they pay a visit to the Vicente Calderon on Saturday evening. This fixture last year, Atletico just scraped it 1-0. That was after losing 1-0 at La Rosaleda earlier in the season. That game at La Rosaleda was one of the worst Atleti played all season, if not the worst game they played all season. It was Correa who scored the goal in this game last year. He will not be starting, it appears, on Saturday. Coque suspension means Simeone will have to mix and match a little bit more in his midfield, and the starting 11, according to reports, will look like this. Oblak and goal, of course. Juanfran, Savic, Godin, and Felipe in defense. Gabi and Saul in the center of midfield with Gaetan and Carrasco on the wings. Griezmann and Gamero up top. And Gamero should be starting. He was playing well against Sevilla before being taken off for Fernando Torres, who managed 6 touches in 35 minutes. But at any rate, you're looking at another chance for Gaetan. Saul getting back into the team, hopefully playing 90 minutes. Looks like he's fully recovered from his ankle injury that he received on international duty with La Roja. No Vrsaljko. This was what has surprised me, and I really want to see Shime Vrsaljko get more time. Juanfran cannot play the number of minutes he played last year. Just can't. And Vrsaljko was signed to give him that relief in that competition as well. He's gotten into one game so far. I think Vrsaljko needs to play more. There have been rumors that he may leave. He's come out and denied them, says he needs to fight for his place, which is all well and good. But I think he needs to get time that's not in the Copa del Rey against Guijuelo next month. It'll be a tricky game. Malaga, again, just extremely tough to play against. And ever since they were flirting with relegation about a year ago at this time, they've just been so solid since escaping relegation and not looking back. I'm predicting a 2-0 win for Atletico, but it will be a hard 2-0 win. Malaga will leave everything out there and will make life uncomfortable for Atleti. And it's important for Atleti to also consider, as the game gets later on, how this impacts Rostov's arrival in Madrid for midweek in the Champions League. They play on Tuesday. They come to the Calderon on Tuesday. We'll preview that on the post-Malaga game pod. And I would expect Simeone to rotate for that game, but again, we will discuss it at a later date. So I'm predicting a 2-0 win for Atletico in that one against a solid Malaga side who have taken points in 6 out of 9. Their last game was a 4-0 win over Leganes. Should be a good one. And after this, we'll get into some news and a little bit more. Some news items to relate now. Wrote about this last night, as Atletico may be under transfer ban, but that hasn't stopped them from doing their due diligence. Danny Ceballos from Real Betis, reportedly a transfer target. As had the story on this one, it was echoed in the Catalan papers, Mundo Deportivo and Sport. Ceballos, 20 years old, came up through the Betis Academy. The AS story relates that Atletico had a deal for Ceballos all worked out in the summer. He would join Atletico for 9 million euros before Gus Poyet said no. Since then, Ceballos has started just one game, and he's appeared 5 times for 202 minutes. And I'll tell you why Atletico may or may not be interested in him. He's 20 years old. He is kind of a similar profile to Koke, academy man. Can play center left of midfield, good passing range, tracks back, defensive awareness is good. Can run a counter. Very slick dribbler. He's been capped for Spain's under-19 and under-21 sides. He won the European Championship with the under-19 side in 2015. And he would be the youngest central midfielder in the squad. That is the position Atletico should be looking to fortify next summer, when they can sign players but not register them for La Liga play. You look at Atletico's central midfield options, you have Koke and Saul, sure. But Augusto can't stay healthy. Gabby's 33, Thiago's 35. So there may be some urgency to look for younger replacements. And Ceballos already has qualities and capabilities that mesh with the other members of the midfield. It'll be interesting to see if Poyet stays, which it looks like he will for now, after their win over Osasuna last match in the last round. The 2-1 win over Osasuna there. It'll be interesting to see how Ceballos is employed for the rest of the season. If he gets more game time, if he doesn't, and how that will impact his situation looking a little forward to next summer. But I think Ceballos would be a very wise, prudent, and good signing. Now, this story also comes from AS. It's about Radamel Falcao. You remember Radamel Falcao, one of my personal favorite Atletico players ever. Started his official website recently and hosted a Q&A. This question was posed to him. If you had the opportunity to go back to River Plate, Porto, or Atletico, the three teams he's played for before Monaco, would you do it? And I'm paraphrasing a bit here, but he said River Plate is, you know, my club, and I grew a lot there. Went to Porto, put the finishing touches on my game, and by the time I arrived in Madrid, I was a man. And however, he said going back to your former club doesn't often work out, which leaves one to believe he would not do it. If you recall, there was a report on deadline day in February that Falcao was in Madrid to seal a return to Atletico on loan. That did not come to fruition. And it's worked out. Falcao has scored 4 goals at Monaco this season. And after the disastrous spells at Manchester United and at Chelsea, he seems to be getting his career back on track somewhat. And it's great for him. It's great to see him do well. It's great to see El Tigre do well. But like the Diego Costa situation this past summer, sometimes it is best to leave the past in the past. Finally, today, this is a question I've been meaning to answer for a little while, but figured today would be as good a day as any to answer it. This comes from Jeffrey Mendez on Twitter, at Jeffrey3198. Do Atletico finally have the personnel to play the 4-3-3? Will the 4-4-2 be phased out? And I think it's interesting to answer this today, because Simeone has been employing the 4-4-2 more often than has been anticipated. This isn't like last year, when Simeone tried to put Griezmann with Jackson Martinez and with Vieto, and it failed. And that's why two of those three players are no longer in the team. No longer with the club. Well, Vieto is, but you get the point. Yeah, this year, there is personnel more suited to play that kind of style. We saw it earlier in the season. We haven't seen it recently. And there are certain matchups, certain games, there's a certain balance you want to keep that keeps certain personnel and certain tactical setups kind of locked away for a certain amount of time. And the 4-4-2 is more prominent again recently. But in 4-3-3, you have options. Griezmann, Gamero, Torres, Correa. Carrasco can play as a forward as well. He's better playing in a midfield role as a pure winger, however. But Atletico have the personnel to do it, and they will roll it out more and more often. It'll look 4-4-2 in defense because Griezmann will just drop to the wing, which means you have Griezmann on one side with Gamero or Correa on another, Torres through the middle, or Gamero through the middle, Atletico have the options and the personnel to do it this year, so you're going to see it more. But right now, Simeone is favoring the 4-4-2, since his team just lost for the first time last week. Don't think we should begrudge the man for it. However, he does need to wear his suit again on Saturday. And I'm just thinking back to the last time Atletico played Malaga when Simeone instructed the ball to be thrown on the pitch. Good times. Anyway, that'll do it for me on this edition of Colchonero Chat. Follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. Follow us on Twitter at Into the Calderon. Follow the blog on Twitter at Into the Calderon. Like us on Facebook as well. And we'll be back next week. We'll be covering the Malaga game this weekend. And the next pod will feature a recap of that game in audio form, plus a preview of the return fixture against Rostov in the Champions League. Until then, adios.